You know, Carl Meininger, the famous psychiatrist, once said, if he would convince the patients in the psychiatric wards that their sins were forgiven, 75% of them would walk out the next day. And I had worked years in psychiatry wards, and I know that to be true. That so many people have this sense of unforgiveness. We're in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. I'm going verse by verse if you're new here, and our subject is forgiveness tonight. God's forgiveness of our sins. For our spiritual thoughts and actions, for our sinful thoughts and actions, and our foolishness, our disgusting behaviors, whatever it may be, this is what God says about it in verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, and we've covered those, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now, we've studied that subject of redemption, the purchasing back from sin. We've talked about his blood sacrifice and how God's looking for a sacrifice, a living sacrifice from us. But tonight, we are going to be embracing the forgiveness of our sins by God. And the problem that I see in Paul's statement of forgiveness is very simple. The concept to understand is very simple on the surface, but harder to believe it, I think. The forgiveness of our sins is a simple fact that God has dismissed all of our sin. He's dismissed the verdict of death on us because of those sins, and he has dismissed the resentment because of our rebellion against him. He has dismissed each and every sin, is continuing to dismiss the sin as we sin, and then he will dismiss our sins until the day he comes to take us home with him. Now that's outrageous love, isn't it? That is real love. Simple concept, but tough to swallow. Here's what the dictionary defines forgiveness as. The act of pardoning or releasing of somebody for a mistake or wrongdoing. You know, many people, many of us, suffer from poor relationships, not only with people, but with God, because of our unwillingness to receive his forgiveness. You know, not long ago, I read this article from a lady. She died in 1988, but in the moment of her candidness on TV, her name is Marganita Lansky, and she was a contributor. She put over 20,000 comments in the Oxford English Dictionary. She was an avowed atheist and one of the best-known secular humanists and a novelist of the 20th century. And she said this on this TV show, very candidly, what I most envy about you Christians is your forgiveness. I have nobody to forgive me. She's right. She had no one that she could count on. Yet you and I have someone who does count, who has forgiven us. God has forgiven us. And it's amazing when you think about it, isn't it? He has dismissed all of our sin. And Jesus thought so much about the significance of forgiveness, and when he taught his disciples to pray, he said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. In the prayer that the disciples said, teach us to pray, this one prayer that he gives them, part of it is the fact that we forgive others as we forgive ourselves. And you know, as I thought about that, I thought about years ago when we were over at Heritage, we had a men's group, and I had maybe 10, 12 men, and we were studying this very passage in Ephesians 1, 7. And so the subject came up of forgiveness of God, and I saw some hesitate in their eyes. And we talked about the forgiveness, and I asked them finally, I said, Do you accept that God has forgiven you? And one of the men answered and said, yes, in everything except who I killed in battle during the war. And there were nods from some of the other vets in the room. And one of them said to me, I don't care what you say, Steve. I don't think I am forgiven for that horrible act. And that horrible act I live with every day. And all the other vets nodded their head in agreement. You know, to me, it took me back because God forgave our sins. And we believe it's all forgiven. And yet they said that, well, all but a couple are forgiven. And they can't be dismissed by God. So I want to read from Romans 3:23, just a little section so we can see how erroneous that is. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation or an appeasement by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, in his patience, in his self-control even, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. Yeah. He forgave the sins of killing for those vets. So I asked them, why would you think some of our sins are too much for God? And I don't know, maybe you can relate to them. Maybe there are some things that have taken place in your life that are so devastating that you think that God can't forgive them. And having been a previous atheist and not a Christian, I believe I can match you on everything that you bring up, or darn close to it. You know, think about this with me, because this is the way I had to think about it. God is presently, right now, at 6:48 in the evening here in Colorado, God is presently looking at 6.5 billion people in the world. And at this very moment, while I'm standing here talking to you about forgiveness, there is horrendous sin going on all around the world, even in Colorado. Deaths on purpose, maybe even killing people for sport. Genocide, ethnical cleansing in Africa, across the world. We know there's rapes and murders, immoral acts and deviant acts and unspeakable sins in dark places, that Paul even warns us with some of those not even to talk about him. Listen to this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We could even add, so walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. And yet, what happens when we come to Christ? It's forgiven. So we have to ask ourselves, what in the world is worse in God's eyes? Is it killing men in battle? Is it abandoning children and living selfish choices? Is it working way too much so your children don't even know who you are? Is it treating your family badly? Is it being married too many times or having been in devil worship? Is it child molestation? Is it sexual deviancy? Is it adultery? Is it addictions to sins that happen in the private? What is it that God has not seen over and over and over, my friend, and still says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, the forgiveness of your sins? In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. I want to read Romans 8, 3b again, or 3, 8b. Because in his forbearance, in his patience, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. I think he specifically put that in for our doubt. We can't go back and say, well, I know it's all sins, but what about the past? Oh, sins that were previously committed. So the question really is, are we kind of looking for a loophole that condemns us? That's a yes or no question. There is no hesitation with God on the subject. God has forgiven us everything. Do we get that? Everything. So really, if you stop to think about it, the question is not, has God forgiven us? The question, I think, today still remains, have you accepted his forgiveness? Isn't that really where it's at? Have we accepted his forgiveness? You know, I have a friend that I've had for years and years that just cannot let go of the past. I don't know whether he's trying to punish himself or if he's just one of those people that mull and mull and mull over his sin. And I see the pain in his face when we talk about it and the regret of his selfishness, the regret of his self-indulgence, his addictions that cost him his wife and family and friends. And he's become immobilized by the regrets. And he can't hear the truth because of his mindset. And that's a real crummy place to live, isn't it? Why? Because it's awfully hard to remember what the rest of the verse says when it's by the riches of his grace. The grace of God is strong enough to lift off any old baggage you have stripped on or strapped on your back and I've strapped on my back. And if I'm talking to you tonight, it's time to let go of that pride and humble yourselves before God. Let me just read Ephesians 1, 7, and 8 out of the Good News Translation just to get another drift. For by the blood of Christ we are set free. That is, our sins are forgiven. How great is the grace of God which he gave to us in such large measure. But I'm also betting that there are many of you in this audience also that are here tonight and you're thinking to yourself, well, Steve, I don't know really why you're talking about this because I totally believe my sins are forgiven. I'm set free from the struggle of my past sins, and so why are they struggling? Because they, the people who understand the forgiveness, have come to the place in their life that they truly believe what God says. I mean, listen for a minute. Only God can lift the baggage off your shoulders and show you the way out of that awful place. But you have to let him. You have to stop searching your own path. I'm sorry. Stop searching for your own path to that place that you can find by yourself and you can heal yourself. It doesn't work. There is no yellow brick road in life. It's just the road to God's grace. You know, maybe we can understand it this way. I have two cottonwood trees in my backyard that I wished I have never planted. You ever have those kind? They shot up like a miracle. It was on the downslope of all the rain, and so they've shot up, and they're 25, 30 feet in the air, and the roots look like those ones there, just hanging out all over my grass. And I'm thinking, what happened? You know, we had this nice lawn, and now all these roots are all over. And I'm thinking, should I fill them in, and should I cover it up? And then Debbie and I were talking. I said, you know what? I think we just need to take those trees down. I mean, I hate to look at that, but because it's expensive, it's hard. But cottonless cottonwood trees. If I chop it down to a stump, what's going to happen to that tree? That sucker is going to grow right back. You know it and I know it, right? No, it's not enough to chop it down. It's not enough to take a look at our sin and say, okay, you know, it's all forgiven and that kind of thing. And especially if you're one who mulls that over. The application is here is that if you have a weed tree growing in your heart, you can't just cut it down. You've got to take out the roots. And you may think that not saying anything will help, and maybe you could just ignore it and it will be expunged from your mind. But you're leaving a hole that needs to be filled with something. So let me give you some practical ideas here on what I think maybe should happen in your life, because it's kind of the similar steps that I took in my life to let go of those things and totally and fully embrace the grace of God and His forgiveness. Step one, go to God in prayer. Get on your knees and ask Him for a new life. If you're a Christian, you're asking Him to renew your life. And step two, with that prayer request, begin to do your part by reading the promises of the Scripture in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. And really, the whole chapter of Ephesians that we've gone all the way up to 7 now. Look at those promises and begin to dwell on them. Here's what God says. Here's God's take on meditating on His Word. This is in Romans 10, 16 and 17. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Right? Read, meditate, dwell on the promises of God, and that dissolves the roots. Step three, clearly define in your head what total forgiveness looks like. Sometimes we kind of have to picture it and go, okay, wait a minute. If I believed in total forgiveness, I wouldn't act this way. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times we have to look at that, and at first it feels strange, because any time you trade behavior in your life, it is uncomfortable. You might even have to say to yourself, if I'm forgiven, then I would. And you fill in the blanks. And step four, and this is one that helps a lot of people, other people, I don't know if it helps them, but make a list of all those things that drive you crazy. All those things that you feel like, I'm not sure. You know, I know that other people's sin are forgiven, but I'm not sure about mine. Make a list of all those things you regret doing, you regret saying, you regret thinking, the sinful behaviors, the bad choices, the wrong words, the inappropriate actions. Write them all down. All those things that haunt you in life. And then take them to God and pray, and pray something like this, maybe. God, will you please help me to live without these regrets? I want to live in a different life than the one I've been living. Take away the burden of these regrets from my life and help me to live a life filled with your grace and belief in your forgiveness. And then take that list and burn it. You following what I'm saying? Say goodbye to those regrets. Say goodbye to those regrets and keep repeating Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. It's really not all that hard. The forgiveness of sins. Four words. The forgiveness of sins, plural. Until it's your mindset. You know, God's pretty big. He's bigger than you and I. It has to be removed, roots and all, or it's just going to grow back. So chop down that tree and let God take care of the roots. Let me just read that verse one more time. We'll close. For by the blood of Christ we are set free. That is, our sins are forgiven. How great is the grace of God, which he gave to us in such a large measure. Let's pray. Father, we come tonight. You know, I'm willing to bet that everybody right now is struggling with something in their life where they just feel like, wow, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I thought that. I can't believe I said that. Whatever it may be, Lord. And most everybody has those current things going on where you feel like, God, how can you forgive us? How can you sit there and watch us when we make fools out of ourselves, when we are rebellious towards you, when we delve into sin in our life that's not right? How do you forgive that? And you say it's by the riches of your grace. And you dismissed it all. And so, Lord, tonight we think about those things in our head and we give them all to you. Lord, it's yesterday's news because you've forgiven. Lord, I pray whatever it takes in our life that we will be able to draw together to really come to accept the forgiveness that you have for us. That we will not only accept it, but we will believe it, we will live it, and we will grow in that manner. Well, your heads are bowed. I know that some of you are new tonight here, and some of you have been coming for a while.